ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 11. Chapter is named The Transcendental Qualities of Ritrasura. Today's verse is number 20. Navyesha Vajrastava Shakra Tejasa. Harir Dadhi Chesh Tapasa Nate. Jita. Tena eva shatrum jahi Vishnu yantrito. Yato harir vijaya shrir gunastataha. Namyesha vadrastava shakra tejasa. Harir dadhi chesh tapasa na tejitaha. Harir dadhi chesh tapasa cha tejita. Tena eva shatrum jahi Vishnu yantrito. Yato harir vijaya shrir gunastata. Nanyesha vadrastava shakra chejasa. Harir dadhi chesh tapasa chatejita. Tena eva shatrum jahi Vishnu yantrito. Yato harir vijaya shrir gunastata. Nanyeva vajrastava shakra tejasa. Harir dadhit chesh chapasa chatejita. Tena eva shatrum jahi Vishnu yantrito. Yato harir vijaya shrir gunastata. Nanyesha vadrastava shakra tejasa. Harir dadhish chesh chapasa chatejita. Tena eva shatrum jahi Vishnu yantrito. Yato harir vijaya shrir gunastata. Nanu, certainly. Eshaha, this. Vajraha, thunderbolt. Right in. Tava of yours. Anatano. Shakra. O Indra. Tejasa. By the prowess. Harehe of Lord Vishnu. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dadichehe. Dadichehe of Dadichi. Tapasa by the austerities. Cha as well as. Chejitaha. Empowered. Tena, with that. Eva, certainly. Shatrum, your enemy. Jahi, kill. Vishnu Yantritaha, ordered by Lord Vishnu. Yataha, wherever. Dokodemo. Harihi, Lord Vishnu. Vijayaha, victory. Shrihi, opulences. Gunaha, and other good qualities. Tataha, there. Translation, O Indra, King of Heaven, the thunderbolt you carry to kill me has been empowered by the prowess of Lord Vishnu and the strength of Dadichi's austerities. Since you have come here to kill me in accordance with Lord Vishnu's order, there is no doubt that I shall be killed by the release of your thunderbolt. Lord Vishnu has sided with you. Therefore, your victory, opulence, and all good qualities are assured. Purport, Vritrasura not only assured King Indra that the thunderbolt was invincible, but also encouraged Indra to use it against him as soon as possible. Vritrasura was eager to die with the stroke of the thunderbolt sent by Lord Vishnu, so that he could immediately return home back to Godhead. By hurling the thunderbolt, Indra would gain victory and enjoy the heavenly planets, remaining in the material world for repeated birth and death. Indra wanted to gain victory over Vritrasura and thereby become happy, but that would not at all be happiness. The heavenly planets are just below Brahmaloka, but as stated by the Supreme Lord Krishna, A Brahma Bhuvana Loka Punar Avartin Arjuna. Even if one achieves Brahmaloka, he must still fall to the lower planetary systems again and again. However, if one goes back to Godhead, he never returns to this material world. By killing Vritrasura, Indra would not actually gain. He would remain in the material world. Vritrasura, however, would go to the spiritual world. Therefore, victory was destined for Vritrasura, not for Indra. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Dina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare Gaur Premanande Hare Hare Bo. So the first line of this verse expresses the subject. That Indra knows that the thunderbolt is has the power of Lord Vishnu. And that it's also empowered by the austerities of Dadichi. And because Indra knows all this, he wants to be killed by the thunderbolt. Vritrasura, yes. Because Vritrasura knows this, he wants to be killed by the thunderbolt. And he uses the words Vishnu Yantritaha, ordered by Lord Vishnu. He says, because it's ordered by Lord Vishnu, then therefore, there's going to be victory. And he's telling Indra that Indra will have success in killing him. But he knows, Vritrasura knows that actually he'll go back to Godhead by being killed by the thunderbolt. And this is an interesting combination of wills between Indra and Vritrasura. They're both playing roles, Indra as the king of heaven, and Vritrasura apparently as a demon who's come to kill him. But because their motives are different, they'll attain different destinations than one might expect. And this is the basis of one's advancement in Krishna consciousness also. Whatever one's motive is considered by Krishna most carefully. Because even if someone may be materially disadvantaged, if he or she has the proper motive, then Krishna will reciprocate in a way that will assist that person in making advancement. In the Bhagavad Gita verse 10:10, Krishna says that if someone is sincerely endeavoring to know me, then I give them that person intelligence. In the law system, motive is also considered to be very important. For instance, there's different kinds of murder. That is, if somebody accidentally kills somebody, the motive wasn't there to kill the person. It was purely an accident. Then the sentence is very light. And then there's the case where someone becomes very angry. And because of being blinded by anger, it was just a spontaneous thing. He kills somebody. The sentence is a little stronger. But if someone premeditates, full intention is to get revenge. They look at his Google records, and he went and he researched where to buy duct tape. He bought the gun 2 weeks in advance. He practiced. Then one can get the most severe penalty. Because the motive was there. A very interesting word, motive. Without motive, we have no reason to move around in this world. Everyone has some motive for working. Motive can be in the mode of ignorance or in passion or in goodness. Some people are motivated by fear. That's the lowest. And then above that, some people are motivated by prospect. What will I get in return? And some people are motivated by duty. And then the topmost is that some people are motivated by love. And all these are reciprocated accordingly. Of course, if someone approaches Krishna with any motive, and tries to render some service, then eventually that person will become purified. Mentioned in the Sri Brahma Samhita, yam krodha kama sahaja pranayadi piti Vatsalya moha guru gaurava sevya bhavai sanchintitasya sadrishim tanama purete govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. This Brahma mentions different kinds of people with different motives who approach Krishna. Some people are angry. Some people are lusty. Some people are afraid. Some people have natural friendly love. Friendly love. And all of them eventually become purified. Because Krishna is so kind. Therefore, Bhagavatam says, whatever motive you have, you should approach Krishna. Because whether you have no material desires, you have all material desires, or you desire liberation, if you approach Krishna, then he will purify those desires. Like Putana, she was motivated by a desire to kill Krishna. And therefore she disguised herself as his mother. And when she came to Vraj, everyone thought that she was so beautiful. Especially the men. They just let her come right into the house. And of course in the village there are many women that pick up the child. So they let her go right into the room where Krishna was sleeping. And she picked up Krishna. And she had a plan to kill him. On the nipples of her breast, she had smeared deadly poison. And of course, Krishna knew this because he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he grabbed onto her breast. And he sucked out the poison. He sucked out all the milk. Then he sucked out her life. And she couldn't get him off. And then she assumed her original form. When she died, that form was 8 miles long. And she went crashing to the ground. And she smashed all the orchards that were nearby there. Those were special orchards that were for King Kamsa. No one else was harmed and no other property was destroyed. Only Kamsa's. And there was this huge body of a demoness. And baby Krishna was crawling around on her breast. So when the elders saw this, they brought Krishna back into the house. And they purified him with mantras. And also dust from the hooves of the cows. And then they chopped up the body of Putana. They hacked her into little bits. And they put those chunks on fire. And the smell normally a burning flesh would be very terrible. But in this case, it was a wonderful fragrance. Because the body of Putana had become purified. And Uddhava mentions that Krishna is so kind that even though one may have a bad motive, that he'll take some other consideration, like he did with Putana. And he saw that Putana had dressed as his mother. So he didn't consider the bad motive that she wanted to kill him. She just considered that she dressed as his mother. So Krishna gave Putana liberation. In the spiritual world, she became a kind of nursemaid or mother of Krishna. So, akama sarva kama va moksha kama udara di tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Whatever one desires, one should approach Krishna. And gradually one's motive will be purified. Also in this purport, it's notable that Vrichasura will go right back to Godhead. And Indra, although he's supposed to be the good guy in all this, he's getting a lower destination. Because he's still attached to living in the heavenly planets. So the Bhagavatam says that if we approach Krishna with material desires, and we ask him for things, he'll reward those desires. But he does it in such a way that we won't ask for them anymore. Satyam dishati artito artito nirinam evartito artito yata soyam vidate bhajatam anichatam ichapitaram nijapada palavam. Bhagavatam says, Krishna is saying that people approach me again and again asking for benedictions. But I give them in such a way they don't want them anymore. Instead, they'll want my lotus feet. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami gives the same verse. And Srila Prabhupada unpacks the verse. And Krishna considers that this person who's asking for material benedictions from me is a fool. But Krishna says, I'm not a fool. Therefore, I'll give him what he wants. But in such a way that he'll never ask for it again. So an intelligent person figures this out and decides that instead of asking for any material benediction, I'll just ask for Krishna's lotus feet. Many people go to temples just to ask the Lord for some insignificant benediction. Chutananda Prabhu told us that once he was at Tirupati in India. There you have to wait in long lines to go see Balaji. Millions of people come there. They all have different motives for coming to see the Lord. So he was standing in line, and behind him there was a family. And they had a kid. And he was going to get out of college soon. So they're talking about praying to Balaji. So he asked the kid, so what are you going to pray for? He said, I want a good job. I want to earn at least $50,000 a year. This was back in the 70s when 50,000 was a lot. And Achyutananda said, come on, this is the Lord of Vaikuntha. He can give you anything. What's $50,000? And the kid looked a little concerned. And he thought about it. He said, okay, 100,000. So, most people are conditioned to ask the Lord for things that will actually be vanquished within just a few years. And Indra is sort of an emblem of this kind of material desire. Because it doesn't get any more materially comfortable than the heavenly planets. And because Indra is attached to living in the heavenly planets. He ended up offending his first guru, killing his second guru. And now he's going to all this trouble. He has to fight Vritrasura, and it's all because he wants to go back to the heavenly planets. So we're shown this contrast so that we can identify with Vritrasura. And appreciate the ideal of developing desire to go back to Godhead. And now we'll take some reflections or questions.
ブリトラスラは悪魔であって、 Vrishastra is a demon, but he goes back to God. And Indra, seemingly a nice, you know, the king of the heaven, but he has to come back to the material life and suffer again. So the contrast of both two were very interesting.
Yeah. And so we have to also see that things may not be what they seem when we look on the outside. And even if we seem to be disadvantaged materially, if we have a strong desire for pure devotional service, then our future is very bright. Not only that, there's no impediment to pure devotional service. As no material circumstance can check it. If you maintain that internal desire to advance in pure devotional service. Krishna will make all arrangements. So he knows how to arrange everything. Tsugiwa?
Yeah.
Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, or Sridhar Swami comments on this in the Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur in the famous Tate Anukampam verse. This verse says that a devotee accepts whatever adverse conditions are coming to him or her as Krishna's mercy. Whatever a kind of suffering comes to one in this life, the devotee accepts as Krishna's special mercy. And he also considers that I've caused this. And he's always praying for Krishna's special mercy. And despite the troubles, he goes on with his service. And then Brahma says, such a person will inherit the kingdom of God. And in the purport, the acharyas say that even after one surrenders to Krishna, and there's no more karma, it may appear that a devotee is getting some reactions. But these are not ordinary karmic reactions. They're reactions designed by Krishna. Because he knows that the devotee may have some residual desires. To enjoy the material world. And Krishna's expert at designing reactions that will specifically make that devotee eager to give up those desires. It also shows how sticky the material world is. That even after surrendering and taking to the process, there may be some residual material desires. In order to serve Krishna, one has to be completely purified. When Sanatana Goswami surrendered to Lord Chaitanya, it took him a while to get away from his job. In fact, his employer said, either work or you go to jail. Either work or go to jail. And he said, okay, I can't work anymore, so he went to jail. And then he had to figure out how to get out of jail. And then he had to escape from the land where he lived. And it explains how he was almost killed when he was getting away. Because his servant, Ishana, was carrying some gold coins with him. And one of the places where Sanatana stayed, there was an astrologer that could understand that these two were carrying some 8 gold coins, they knew. And so Sanatana could understand that these people were being too nice to him. So he asked his servant, do you have any valuables with you? And his servant Ishana said, yes, I have 7 gold coins. And Sanatana said, okay, give them to me. And he took those 7 gold coins and he gave them to the innkeeper and said, here, take these. And the innkeeper said, oh, I'm glad you gave them because I was going to kill you for them tonight. He said, my astrologer told me that you have 8 gold coins. He said, actually, I don't even want to take them. But Sanatana said, no, please take them. Because if you don't kill me for them, if you don't take them, someone else will kill us. He said, just do us a favor and show us how to get through the mountains. So the innkeeper took the 7 gold coins and he showed Sanatana and Ishana how to get out of the hills. And then Sanatana turned to his servant, Ishana. He said, I think you have 1 more gold coin. Ishana said, yeah, I have a gold coin. He said, okay, you go home. I'll go by myself. And so he left everyone behind. And it says, at that moment, he felt peace. He had been a billionaire. He had all the power of the king. And he had people bowing down to him. But when he gave away his last gold coin, and his servant, and he was by himself, going towards Lord Chaitanya, then he felt peace. So on the way there, he stopped to rest. And from a distance, one of his relatives happened to be there. His name was Srikant. And he was the husband of one of Sanatan's sisters.
Sanatana Goswami no sono sister no ne sono onesan daka imoto daka shiranai sono hito no danna san.
And the Srikant, from his vantage point, could see Sanatan sitting down in the valley. Srikant was also very wealthy. And he had 300,000 gold coins that he was using to buy horses for the king. He told Sanatan, I'll help you get cleaned up, you can have a shave and everything like that, you can rest here a few days. And Sanatan said, I will not even stay for one moment. So Srikant said, at least take this blanket, and he gave him a valuable blanket. And Sanatan left with the blanket. And when Sanatan got to the house of Chandrasekhar, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was staying, he sat down in the entryway outside the house. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Chandrasekhar, there's a devotee outside, go get him. Chandrasekhar opened the door and looked and closed it and came back and said, there's no devotee. There's just a Muslim mendicant. Actually, first he said, there's no devotee there. And Mahaprabhu said, is there anybody there? He said, Chandrasekhar said, just some Muslim. And Mahaprabhu said, go bring him here. So Chandrasekhar brought him in. And Mahaprabhu came and embraced him. And he welcomed him. And then Sanatan went to go get a shave. And Prabhupada writes, he said, when one takes a spiritual life, you should be clean shaven. And he took some old cloth from Chandrasekhar and tore it into pieces. And he used that for his clothes. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he was now shaved up and he had some cloth, Mahaprabhu kept glancing at the blanket. Again and again he looked. He just looked at him. And Sanat was so intelligent he could understand without Lord Chaitanya saying anything, said, oh, I understand, he doesn't approve of my blanket. So Sanatan went down to the bathing ghat. And there he found a Bengali mendicant who had an old torn quilt that he had washed and was drying on the bank. And Sanatan said, so sir, I'd like to trade my blanket for your quilt.
Sanatana,
And the Bengali said, "Why, you're a respectable person. Why are you making this cruel joke? It's not very nice." And Sanat said, "No, I'm serious. I want to trade." So they traded, and Sanatan came back to Chandrasekhar's house with this torn quilt. And Mahaprabhu was very pleased. And Mahaprabhu then said, when a physician cures a disease, why should he allow even a little bit of the disease to stay within the patient? Because it may come back. So Krishna is very attentive to even the last vestige of material desire. And also shows how one has to be very careful moving through the world. Sometimes devotees become surrendered. And they're very strict. But then somehow or other, over time, they get bad association, or they're not so careful as they were before. And then gradually, the disease of material desire comes back. And then they leave. And try to enjoy the material world again. So it's a better policy, Prabhupada says in the Bhagavatam, to be very careful throughout one's life. Make sure to check one's motives. And not let material desires come back in again. Otherwise they can take over. Any last point? Yes?
Sometimes when usually when the demon gets killed by Krishna, oftentimes they get like liberation. So it's a different kind of achievement from devotees when devotee gets certain kind, they get liberation and go back to Godhead. But usually demonic people just become like made immersed with Brahma Jyoti or some kind of liberation. So it's different.
プータンの場合は馬になったんですよね。プータンは became
Krishna's wet nurse in spiritual world.
ということはその背景に何か裏話があるのでしょうか?
Does that mean that there's more story to it?
Yes, there's more story to it. Because even those who appear to get Sayuja, that's only the first stop. Prabhupada explains this in the Bhagavatam. Because people wonder about Shishupal, for example. Why did he merge into the body of Krishna? Because Jai and Vijay went through and they became, they had to take three lives as demons. Finally, there was Shishupal and Dantabhakra. And it looks like these Shishupal Dandravakra, that they actually, their soul merged into Krishna and got Sayuja. But Prabhupada tells how actually that's just the first stop. They went there, but then they attained their original position as Jaya Vijay. So there's more to the story. Putana achieved the position of a kind of mother of Krishna. She was, in her previous life, she was Bali Maharaj's, was Bali Maharaj's sister? And when she saw Vamanadev, she was charmed by him. And she had some maternal feelings towards him and said, "Oh, I wish this was my son. I'd like to." But then when Vamanadev took away everything from Bali Maharaj, she said, "I'd like to kill him." So next life she became Putana. And Krishna is so expert to give, fulfill both the desires. The sages in Dandakaranya, they were. They had seen Lord Ramachandra. And internally they were attracted to him. They were thinking they wanted to have, you know, a conjugal relationship with him.
What kind of relationship?
Conjugal.
Lover.
Conjugal.
Like a.
Yeah, yeah. So the sages that is Ramachandra.
And Ramachandra could understand their desires. Because in that incarnation he would only take one wife. He arranged that they would be born into Krishna Lila. And those sages became some of the gopis at that time. And even all the different groups of gopis are different. They come from different places. Some of them require a little more purification than others. During the rasa dance, some of them are held back by their so-called husbands. And there they, because they're held back from going, they give up their bodies. I'm just saying, every living entity has some long story. But one's internal motive is the most important. Om Tat Sat.
Natchariyar Marman, Natchariyar Marman, Natchariyar Marman, Natchariyar Marman, hey! Natchariyar Marman, Natchariyar Marman, Natchariyar Marman, Natchariyar Marman.